cross. He changed my life when he became everything to me.
Hello, Las Vegas. You are listening to Vegas Revival. This is the new radio ministry of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. We hope that you will stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we talk about the great things God is doing in our city and through the ministries of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. Good afternoon. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Welcome to Vegas Revival. As we always say, if there's anything that Las Vegas needs, it's a Holy Ghost-filled revival. Amen. Praise God. My name is Stephen Sparks. I'm going to be your host today, and I'm excited to be here at KKVV. This is the first time that I'm personally on camera, so this is a little different feel for me. I'm used to audio, but now I have a camera staring at me, so I'm going to try to get used to this. But I'm thankful for, you know, the goodness of the Lord. Every day we live, we serve a God who is faithful, a God who is good. Just like that song says, I will sing of the goodness of God. You know, He is always there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm just so thankful for the great God we serve. Amen. We had a wonderful service this morning at Gospel Lighthouse. Brother Randy preached a powerful message, just a really powerful message about loving God, you know, with all of your heart. It's the Shema. It's the continuation of the Shema. The Shema is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And it continues on, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind. And that is the first and greatest commandment. That's what Jesus said in the New Testament. That's the first and greatest commandment. And what a powerful message that was this morning, that we need to just have that love for God, the love that surpasses our love for any other thing in this life, that God, we want God to be number one in our lives. Number one in our decisions, number one in our choices, number one in our priorities. And then after that, the Bible says that if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that all the other things, they're gonna be all right. They're going to be added to us. They're going to all fall in order if we put God first. And it just kind of reminds me of the story of the person trying to put all the sand and all the water and all the rocks into a jar. And when you get it backwards, you can't fit everything in there. But if you go and put the priorities first, you put the big rocks in first, and then you pour the sand in, and the sand will fill in around the rocks. And then you pour the water, and everything will fit inside that jar. And it's that same way with our life. When we put God first, the priority of God being number one, when we put Him first in our life, everything else is going to fall in place. And I just want to thank the Lord that, you know, He gives us the strength to do that. It's not always easy. Sometimes it is a choice, and it can be a struggle, but thank the Lord for the strength He gives us. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and read a psalm, as our custom is. So we're going to read Psalm 63. This is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness in Judah. He says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate upon Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. What a powerful psalm that is. A psalm of just that confidence, that trust that, you know, God's going to bring me through it. And David's saying, Lord, I'm going to seek You. My soul thirsts for You. I'm longing for You. And I believe that's a hunger that every one of us needs in our hearts and needs in our lives. The Bible, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And when we have that hunger for God, that hunger just to be with Him, that hunger to be pleasing to Him, amen, I believe God's going to fill that hunger if we have it. In fact, the Bible talks about a love for truth, having a love for truth. Not believing a lie, but having that love for truth. And that's what I want in my life. I want that love for God to be stronger than my love for any other thing. I want my love, my thirst for Him to be stronger than my thirst for anything in this life, because God's the one who satisfies the longing soul, another psalm says. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord if He'll bless this broadcast today. Lord Jesus, I ask You to bless this broadcast. Let Your words go forth and touch somebody, encourage somebody today. Maybe there's somebody listening this afternoon who's struggling, Lord. I ask that You'll place Your words in my mouth, Lord, to speak to them, to bring them encouragement and help, Lord, because You're the one who gives us help in time of trouble. I give You thanks and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today our lesson, this is actually a similar lesson that I taught recently on a youth service. It's a lesson on contentment, and so it's just going to be a short lesson, but how powerful it is when we find contentment. How powerful it is when we just have that peace and that assurance that no matter what's going on, we're going to be all right. We can be content in our circumstance. We can be content in our situation. So we're going to be looking at the life of Apostle Paul and how he found contentment in the middle of all the problems he was going through. He was in imprisonment, and yet he was content. So I'm going to be referencing some notes from Stephen J. Cole by a lesson that he taught called The Secret to Contentment. Amen. So as an icebreaker, I'd like to ask you this question. What are the factors that determine your happiness? Are you able to find happiness and peace at all times, or do circumstances often detract from our happiness? Do things that happen in our life just make us uneasy and discontented? Are we able to find that contentment at all times? And I do believe that it is God's will for us to be content in every situation. Amen. An airplane pilot was flying over the Tennessee Mountains and pointed out a lake to his co-pilot. He said, "See that little lake down there? When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing. Every time a plane would fly overhead, I'd look up and wish that I was the one flying that plane." And he said, "Now I look down at the boat as I fly over this lake, and I wish I'm the one in that rowboat fishing." It's kind of comical, but it's true. It's just a perspective. He was discontented in that rowboat, wishing that he could be that pilot. But once he finally was a pilot, he looked down and realized how simple life was and how peaceful it was just being on that rowboat with his dad fishing. Contentment can be an elusive pursuit. We go after what we think will make us happy, only to find that it didn't work. In fact, we were happier before we started the quest. It's like the story of two teardrops floating down the river of life. One teardrop said to the other, "Who are you?" That other teardrop said, "Well, I'm the teardrop from a girl who loved a man and lost him." "And who are you?" the teardrop said to the other teardrop. He said, "I'm the teardrop from the girl who got him." And that's also kind of comical, but it's true. So many times we think something's going to make us happy, and yet we find that the happiness was not there. And it just brings me right back to that scripture in Isaiah, similar to the psalm we read, that David's in a dry and thirsty land looking for something to satisfy that thirsting. But he knew exactly where to go. He said, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsteth for You. My flesh longeth for You in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." I want you to know that we all live in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But David knew where he can find what he was looking for. He knew where to find that the thing that would quench his thirst. He knew where to search when he was discontented. He knew how to find that contentment. And he always went to the Lord. And the Lord's the one who satisfies the longing soul, the Bible says. He's the one who fills the hungry soul with goodness. In fact, in Isaiah, the Lord said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And it just brings to my mind, you know, so many times in life, we're looking for something to fill that emptiness. We're looking for something to satisfy that thirst in our hearts. And the Lord said, "Hey, I'm right here. Come to the water. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life." And the Lord wants us to find contentment in him. And that's the secret to contentment, is always knowing that God is the answer. That's what David knew. He knew that no matter how dry and thirsty the land was and how difficult the problems were that he was going through, he knew that he could find that peace that passes all understanding in the Lord. And this was in the Old Testament before the Lord was came in the flesh, but we know now his name is Jesus. We know we can find that peace in the Lord Jesus. Amen. This was back before David wrote this psalm back before Jesus came. But we're so blessed today to know the very name of God. Amen. The very name that brings salvation. The very name that demons tremble at. The very name that opens the eyes of the blind. The name that heals the lame man. The name that raises the dead. The name that can bring peace to a stormy life. And that name is Jesus. Amen. The lack of contentment that marks our nation is reflected in many ways. We see it in the high rate of consumer debt. We aren't content to live within our means, so we go into debt to live just a little bit better than we can afford. But then we suffer the anxiety from the pressure of paying our bills. Of course, the advertising industry tries to convince us that we can't possibly be happy unless we have their product. And we often take the bait only to find that we own one more thing that'll break down and one more piece that just overloads our schedule, one more thing that doesn't really satisfy us that we really thought it would. Our discontentment rears its head in the high divorce rate that we see today. We can't find happiness in our marriages, so we trade our mates in for a different model, only to find that same problem reoccur. Our lack of contentment is seen in our clamor for our rights, all the while claiming that we have been victimized. If we can't get a fair treatment, we think we're just not going to be happy. But we see people suing one another at an astonishing rate, trying to get more money so we can have more things in life, so that we can be more comfortable. We spend money that we can't afford on the lottery, hoping to win a big jackpot that will give us what we want more in life. But even those people who win large settlements in lawsuits or even in the lottery, they're not much happier in the long run than they were before they had all of that money. So when we look at the life of Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned, and even in that prison, he began to write to the church in Philippi. He wrote to the Philippians. The Philippians had sent a gift to Apostle Paul. I suppose maybe some money to help him. You know, he was in prison, and their prison systems back then didn't take as well care of their prisoners as we do nowadays. And no doubt the Philippians wanted to send something to Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul responded to them in Philippians 4 and 11. Here's what he said. He said, "Not that I speak in respect to one, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he goes on and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I really appreciate you guys sending me the resources that you sent me. And he said, but you know what? God is the one who really supplies all my need. He's the one who's going to take care of me. I really appreciate the gift you've sent me. And he began to commend them for that because they were kind. They were they wanted to give him a gift. And at first they weren't able to. But when they finally found opportunity to, they sent a gift. And Apostle Paul said, listen, you know, he was thankful for it. But he said, you know what? I'm not completely dependent on this gift or the things of this life. He says, because I found that I can be content in any situation, any circumstance. I found the secret to contentment. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And, you know, Apostle Paul went through a lot. I was thinking about it, wondering, man, can I really handle all that he's gone through? He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned to death. He was persecuted, people trying to kill him. He was out in the cold. He suffered hunger. He was just always in a predicament. And yet, he was able to find contentment in all of those various situations. He found contentment in the Lord. And I believe that's what the secret is. The secret to contentment is knowing that that our peace and our assurance, our trust is in the Lord. That no matter what happens, He's going to be with us. He's going to see us through it. In fact, the Bible says not to be covetous, but to realize that God is with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake us. And I'm just so thankful for that. So Apostle Paul, you know, he found that there are times in our lives where we do go through struggles. And Jesus said that we are like trees. You know, we go through seasons in our life. There's going to be seasons of growth in our life. There's going to be seasons of summer, as it were. There's going to be seasons of fall in our lives, seasons of winter time, and seasons of spring in our life. We go through different seasons, but I believe God wants us to be able to find contentment in every single season. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, it says there's a time for war, a time for peace, a time for... And it just goes on, all these different seasons, all these different times that we face in life. And then verse 11 kind of finishes it off, and it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. You see, every season in our life, there's something beautiful there. There's something that we can look at and find contentment, even in that season. It might be a difficult season, but yet there's beauty there. And it's almost like that. It just brings to mind the scripture that the Lord is the lily in the valleys. You know, there's times in our life where we go through the valley, but we can't have our eyes on the valley. We've got to have our eyes on the lily in that valley. There's beauty in that valley. There's something that God's working in our life. There's a lily that's being grown in that valley. And you know, in our lives, we go through these seasons. There's a season of waiting. There's a season of blessing in our lives. There's a season of growth. There's a season of testing. There's a season of harvest. And in each season, God wants us to find contentment. In the season of blessing, it's easy to find contentment. I mean, hey, Lord, go ahead and pour out the blessings. I'm content with that. I'm fine with that. I'll be happy with whatever you give me. And it's easy to see the beauty in all the blessings that God pours in our lives. But even in that time, we have to realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, from the Lord Jesus. He's the one who gives every good thing. And so in that season, we have to recognize that God is the giver of good things. In the season of blessing, we've got to recognize that these good things come from God. He's the one who daily loads our life with benefits. He's the one who forgives us and heals us and just pours good things in our lives. But not every day of our life is going to be a season of blessing. There's going to be days where we find ourselves in a time of waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a healing. Maybe waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. And this can be a more difficult season. It might be like, you know, naturally in the world for a tree, this might be like a winter season where it seems like all the leaves are falling off and it's cold and it's not the tree's happiest time of the year, you could say. And for us, you know, we go through times of testing. If you look at Abraham, he went through a season of testing when the Lord said, go offer your son Isaac. That wasn't easy. And for each of us, we're going to go through seasons of waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a miracle to happen and you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're waiting for a healing. Maybe you're waiting for a spouse. Maybe you're waiting for to find a job and you're kind of getting stressed out because you're in this season of waiting. But I want you to know that in that season, there's something that God is doing in our lives. In that season, there is beauty. There's beauty in every season. And in that season, we have to remember that God is the author and finisher of our faith. And it's in those times of waiting, in those valleys, that you're going to find a lily growing. It's in the valleys that God will begin to work in our lives and teach us patience and teach us that He's with us, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we're in a season of waiting or a season of testing, that we have to have our eyes on the Lord. And we can find contentment knowing that no matter what comes our way, God will never leave us nor forsake us. We can find contentment in the season of waiting, in the season of the valley, knowing that God is the one who supplies our need. We can find our contentment in the season of waiting, in that valley, when you don't seem like anything good is coming out of this. Almost like Joseph going to being sold into slavery, being lied upon by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison, and it looks bad. But we have to remember in those times of our lives that God works all things together for good to them that love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And we have to remember in those seasons that God loves us. You know, He's the one who supplies our peace. He's the one who's going to supply all our needs. And so in that particular season, I just want you to remember that God is with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And then there's a season of harvest. This is a time of our life where maybe you've been praying about something for years and years. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that's lost and running from God. And maybe they're finally starting to make their way back to church. Maybe they're starting to make their a turn in their life. And this is where those prayers that you've been storing up day after day, praying, oh God, you see this situation. Oh God, you see my son. You see my daughter. You see my marriage. You see my job. Whatever the situation is, and you begin to pray for it, I want you to know those prayers are not in vain. You just keep watering that tree. There's a harvest coming. And finally, we're going to get to that season of harvest where you're going to see those prayers answered. You're going to see your son or daughter turn their heart to God. You know, it's just reminds me of the scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. And I just want to encourage you, no matter what season you are in your life, find contentment and peace in the Lord. Let Him be your assurance. Let Him be your comfort. If you're in a season of blessing, give glory to God. Remember that all blessings come from Him. If you're in a season of waiting, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Just trust in Him. Be patient and know that in these difficult times of waiting, that He's going to be there. He's going to see you through. And if you're in the summertime, you're just watering that tree, wondering when the harvest is coming, I want you to know that God is the God of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Amen. He doesn't forget our labor of love. He's going to pour out blessings upon us. Amen. God bless you all. We look forward to being with you next Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Have a blessed afternoon.
We're living in uncertain times, and more and more
you have been listening to Vegas Revival, the new radio ministry of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are on the air at KKVB 1060 AM every Sunday afternoon from 4:30 to 5 p.m. For a free download of this broadcast or other broadcasts, please visit our website at vegasrevival.com. We can also be reached at 702-258-1258. We are located at 6050 South Pecos Road at Patrick Lane, directly across from the Home Depot. We want to thank all of our supporters who have made this radio ministry possible. If you are blessed by what you just heard and would like to help support this radio ministry or any of our ministries, please call or contact us by email through our website. We would be delighted to have you attend any of our weekly church services. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., Tuesday night Bible study at 7:30 p.m., Friday night youth service also at 7:30 p.m., and is bilingual in both English and Spanish. Child care is always available for those with children, and we have Spanish translators available for those who may need them. God bless you, and let's all be a part of the revival that Las Vegas so desperately needs.